Let's look at another parenting strategy. Let's look at the strategy of recognizing the power of your voice. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, listen to your father's instruction." And in fact, 11 times in the book of Proverbs, it tells children to listen to parents. Why? Because parents have something to say. We need to be careful what we say to our children and how we say it. Both of those things are important, what we say and how we say it to our children.
But doesn't it seem sometimes that our children don't even listen to what we're saying? We feel like we're saying the same thing over and over again, and our kids aren't even paying any attention. The reality is, though, that our words have an impact on their hearts. Just think back to things that your parents said when you were growing up. Do you remember what your parents taught you? Maybe they told you to be kind to your sister, turn off the lights, eat your vegetables. They may have said the same things over and over again, and maybe you didn't heed them then, but those words are still inside of you somewhere. And that's true as we're working with our children as well. Our words are having an impact on their hearts, whether we see the response yet or not. Sometimes that's called building a tape. We build the tape in our children's heads, but I think it's really in their hearts. We're making an impact on their hearts by the things that we say over and over again. We're impacting the conscience. So I think what we say and how we say it is very important.
Some children believe strange things about life. They have these beliefs inside of their hearts. For example, some children resist all kinds of work. They don't want to help you out. They don't even want to help out a friend. They don't like their homework. Everything that smells like work, they seem to be allergic to. Why is that? I think it's because some children believe that their job description in life is to have fun. My job description in life is to have fun. Anything that looks like work doesn't fit into my job description, therefore I should resist it. Now, where do children get that particular idea? I think some of those children get that idea from their parents, believe it or not. Because sometimes when we're working with our children, we don't realize it, but we send them out the door and we say, "All right, have fun." Like that's the supreme goal of their life. We send them out the door, and that's what we say to them. They come back in, and we're debriefing with them about their day, and we say, "Did you have fun?" As if that's the most important thing. Now, when my children got to be teenagers, my wife and I realized that saying "have fun" wasn't the best approach. And so we started saying things like, "Do the right thing," or "Take care of your sister." So what we're trying to do is help our children with the very things that we say. They're very important, what you say to your kids.
Sometimes children tune us out, but I think sometimes the things we say are worth tuning out. We really have to be careful. What are we saying to our children? Are we giving them valuable lessons about life in the things that we say over and over? Are we sharing wisdom with them? I would suggest that the words we use need to be nutritious so children recognize the importance of the things that we're saying. They may not heed them, but they're going to hold on to them because over time that's going to impact their hearts.
Now, it's not only the things we say, but it's how we say them that are so important. Sometimes parents sound more like policemen than coaches. I would suggest that a coach sounding voice is a lot more appropriate, at least if you have a good kind of a coach. I know some coaches sound like policemen, but the idea is that we're coaching our children in a positive way in order to help them. What do our children hear? Do they hear in their own heads, when they say to themselves, do they hear, "Oh, come on, you can do it, it's okay"? Or do they hear themselves saying to themselves in their heads, "Oh, you're never gonna make it right. You're never gonna get it done." Now, that doesn't always happen because parents say certain things. Some children just do that to themselves. But I think it's all the more important that we are sharing those kinds of things with our children in a positive way. The way that we talk to our kids is very important, not just what we say to them.
And that's partly why anger is such an issue, because if we're speaking to our children in anger, they're getting a message that may be different than we're really trying to communicate. We need to be careful of what we say and how we say it and choose our words carefully because we want our children to believe that our words are important. We want to communicate truth to them. So how we do that is so important.
You know, some parents confuse the ideas of firmness and harshness. Firmness is important. We believe that. Because it's within firmness that children often learn character. Parents need to be firm with their children. But some parents believe that firmness requires harshness. The two do not have to go together. Firmness says there's a line here that when crossed means there's a consequence. Harshness pours all this emotional intensity in there to show I mean business. We don't need harshness. What we need is firmness in our children's lives. That's what they need as we're working with them.
Sometimes that takes practice for us as parents. Some parents have a hard time separating out firmness from harshness. They think they're the same thing. But we want to be able to step back and be firm with our children, define the limits, without using the anger and the intensity to try and make our point.
Ron came up to us at the end of a parenting seminar. It was a very interesting conversation, because he was telling us the story of what had happened in his own life in regards to parenting. Because it was in the past that he would yell at his son, that he would be harsh with him. And it was because his son Koji didn't pay attention. It was hard for his son to do anything. His son would not respond, was easily distracted, wouldn't get anywhere until dad got upset. And so Ron would get upset and yell at his son. He would also occasionally call his son dumb. He would do that because it would motivate him to get going. He was so frustrated with his son, and he felt he needed some dramatics in order to make it work. Ron realized that he had been talking himself into angry responses with his son. That really what he needed to do was emphasize more firmness in his life. He was practicing that and working on that more in his life. It was a transition for him, something new that needed to take place.
What we say and how we say it is so important. The tone of voice that we use is important as we're working with our children. This lesson came home to me personally when my children were young. I remember one time when Dave and Tim were 4 and 6 years old, and they were going to go out to play in the backyard. They grabbed the wiffle ball bat and the wiffle ball, and they were going to go play baseball. And I thought, oh, this is so cute. You know, 4 and 6 years old, they're going to be playing around. This is great. So I grabbed the video camera. I said, come on, let's just take a video of this. We're going to save this forever. This is wonderful. So I went out in the backyard while they were playing wiffle ball, and I started to videotape them. And I'm directing them around and trying to keep them corralled in line and doing the right thing. I said, this is great. Let's go watch the video. So we put the videotape in back inside. And as I watched the video, I was surprised at my tone of voice in the background of the video. I had not realized that as I was directing and redirecting and keeping them on track, I was using a harsh tone of voice that I didn't even hear in myself. I think tone of voice is like that. It's easier to hear the tone of voice of someone else than of yourself. Sometimes dads hear it in mom, sometimes moms hear it in dad, but you don't hear it in yourself. That's why we challenge teenagers about their tone of voice. Watch that tone. And our teenager says, what do you mean? I didn't mean anything by it. It's difficult for us to hear tone of voice in ourselves, but I think it's something to pay attention to, something to be careful about, because sometimes our tone of voice is not what we want it to be as we're working with our children. So we need to pay attention.
Let's look at another theology. Let's take the theology of the Holy Spirit. Because if we're going to do a thorough study of this particular issue, we need to understand what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a very important part of this internal motivation, but the Holy Spirit is a person. The conscience is just a thing inside of us. It's part of the standard operating equipment inside of a person. But the Holy Spirit is actually a person. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The conscience doesn't really speak. The conscience just feels good or bad. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The conscience can indicate that something is wrong or you need to do something right. The Holy Spirit does more than indicate. The Holy Spirit transforms us and empowers us to do the right thing. The Holy Spirit is very important in regard to this, and the person of the Holy Spirit is significant as we're trying to understand this internal module. In John chapter 13, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to go away from you. You're not going to see me. And they were troubled by that, so John 14 starts when Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. That's what he says to them in John 14. A little bit further in that passage, he says to them, I'm going to go away, and when I go away, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will send a comforter to you, and he will be with you, and he will live in you. See, when somebody accepts Jesus Christ into their life, then the Holy Spirit comes to indwell them, to live inside, and offers all kinds of resources, spiritual resources to do the right thing, to deal with wrongs, to be honest, to care about others. The Holy Spirit is very important as we're trying to understand this internal module we're talking about here.
In the scriptures, we hear several things about the work of the Holy Spirit, and some of them are similar to the conscience. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. We read that in John 16, 8. Motivates toward forgiveness in 1 John 1, 9. Helps fight temptation in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. provides power to do right and avoid wrong, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Guides into truth, John 16, 18. Confirms honesty, Romans 9, 1. Reminds of the right thing, John 14, 26. Lives inside believers, in John 14, 17, and makes God's teaching clear. We read that in 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 14.
We're come to another parenting strategy, to develop a spiritual relationship with your child. Now, we're not just talking about praying before meals and taking your child to church on Sunday. We're talking about living out your faith with your child. We're talking about, well, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. We're talking about allowing your spirituality to be transparent with your children. That's what we're talking about here. I was working with one family. 16-year-old girl was removed from the home because she was violent. I got involved in this family when the girl was re-entering after a two-week hiatus outside the home. They wanted to get their parenting back on track. They wanted to get their family back together. See, the problem seems that whenever the mom said no, the daughter would react and want to argue. And mom would then intensify her emotion as well to say, no, we're not going to do this. And so the daughter would react and become more intense emotionally, and this battle continued until the daughter became violent. So one of the things I said to mom was, you can't get involved in these kind of arguments. You need to pull back. When your daughter's upset, you need to pull back and go away. Leave her alone. Well, mom said, okay. So she started to leave and went away from her daughter. But when she did that, her daughter followed her and wanted to pursue her. Come on, I want to talk about this. Mom said, I don't know what to do in that situation. I don't know how to get away from her. I said, okay, let's do this. Let's allow your spirituality to be part of this aspect of your parenting. Here's what I'd like you to do. When your daughter's pursuing you like that, comes into your room and wants to argue, I'd like you to fall down on your knees and I just want you to pray. I say, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't want to engage in the same stuff with my daughter here. I really want you to help me here. I just don't know what to do. God, would you help me? So she went home. She did it. Her daughter didn't know what to do and turned around and walked out of the room. See, I just think it's so important that our spirituality becomes part of who we are. That we're relating to our children in a way that reveals that God is alive and present right now in our lives.
I think this is uncomfortable for many of us. It doesn't feel natural, but it's so important as we're working with our children and we're helping them to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work in their lives. I think often as adults, we're going through life and we're seeing God work around us. We see God work in a certain situation and we think to ourselves, wow, isn't that cool what God just did there? That is so cool how he orchestrated that. And we thank God for it, but we keep it private. Or we see God working or the Holy Spirit working in different situations and we're grateful for that and we're overwhelmed with gratitude. And we thank the Lord, but we keep it private. What we're suggesting is we need to be more transparent about our spirituality. We need to be willing to talk to our children about how we see God working around us, how we see God orchestrating situations and conversations and relationships. Let's share that with our kids. We can share with our kids the things that we're thankful for day in and day out. Praying is not just before bed and mealtime. We got to pray with our kids all the time. Help them to see that we have an active relationship with the Lord that goes on throughout the whole day. If we can share some of those things with our children, I think we're communicating to them a way to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as well, to be sensitive to inner promptings, to be more sensitive to the spiritual realms around us as we talk about that with our children.
That's why it's so important for conscience development, you see. What we're doing is we're helping our children understand that even in around our world, the Holy Spirit is alive and well and prompting us in certain areas. How do we do the spiritual training with our kids? What do we do? I think in part it means that we're saying to a child, hey, look, I'm not feeling too well. I got to go to work today. Would you pray for me today while I go to work? Or we say to another child, I'd like to pray for you. What is something I could be praying for you in your life? And then we go back and check up on them. We're just being more spiritually transparent with them. We might say to a child, hey, look at this Bible verse I found. I think you'll like this verse. I think it applies to some of the things you're working on in your life. As we work together with our children, we might even say to them, you know, you went to Sunday school yesterday. What did you learn there? Why don't you share with me the lesson? Maybe it's something I could apply in my life. We're living our faith out day to day with our children in a way that demonstrates that God is working. We're listening. How is He guiding me today? What does He want me to do? How does He want me to respond to life situations? That's very important as we're working with our kids.
We may even be courageous enough to share with our children how God's working on our own hearts. Could you share with your child that, hey, I'm working on anger in my life. I'm trying to allow the Lord to transform that part of my life. Would you pray for me? I know sometimes I get angry with you. I get angry in other situations. I'm really working on that. I'm wondering if you might pray for me today as I go through some situations. Just being vulnerable with our children, asking them to come in and see how we're spiritually connected to the Lord and asking them to participate in that with us.
In this session, we've talked to you about recognizing the power of your voice, understanding what it does and how it impacts your children. Because when you're recognizing the power of your voice, it contributes to conscience development in your child. That's a very important parenting strategy. Another parenting strategy we've talked about is developing a spiritual relationship with your child. The idea here is that we're fostering the sense of inner promptings with our child by recognizing that God is prompting us on a regular basis. What is God telling you about? How does God want you to respond in this given situation? We're looking for the initiative that our children might have. All of those things are working together to make this happen in our children's lives. Let me share a story with you that was very touching for me. In fact, it continues to go on right now. I'm working with a dad, a Christian, whose wife left him. And they're separated right now. But I can just see God at work right now, bringing them back together. He came to me for counseling because, well, he wants to be a better dad and a better husband. So we've been talking about that, and he's been making some great progress in his life. And so I'm pretty excited about what I'm seeing going on in his life. We came to this particular area about being spiritually transparent. And he said, you know, my wife's a Christian. She's been a Christian since she was a child. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian since I was a teenager. But we didn't really share anything spiritually together. Our faith was a private matter. It was something that we really didn't share with each other. I said, well, that's really important. We've got to work on that, because when two people are trying to have a relationship together, they need to have God as their focus. When two people grow in their relationship to God, then they grow closer together in their relationship to each other. So I was just sharing that principle about relationships with him, and he wanted to work on that, the spiritual dynamic. But he said this, you know, that's really uncomfortable for me. I have a hard time with it. And I think some of us men would have to say that. It's hard sometimes for us to be spiritually transparent and share what's going on really inside of our hearts. I said, let's do this. Why don't you work on it with your 10-year-old son? I mean, you have a close relationship with him, it sounds like. Why don't you start being transparent with him? Why don't you, when you're laying down with him at night and he's getting ready to go to sleep and you're saying goodnight to him, why don't you talk about some spiritual things in a personal way with him? He liked that idea, and he started working on it, and it's starting to grow inside of his heart, this ability to be more spiritually transparent with other people. I love this story because I'm right in the middle of it, and I see that God is working, and I'm sure that God is going to bring this family back together. See, spiritual transparency is what brings people close together. It's part of the relationship that draws us close together. And when you focus on the conscience, good things happen. It's true. The heart is so important. The conscience helps to guide the heart, but it's not alone. God has also designed it so that the Holy Spirit helps to govern our hearts as well. I'm convinced that good theology results in better parenting.
This week, as you work with your children, look for ways that your kids are already demonstrating an awareness of the conscience. The 2-year-old who realizes he's done the wrong thing and wants a hug. The 6-year-old who shows compassion for a friend or sibling. The 12-year-old who takes initiative without being asked, or the 15-year-old who takes a stand for doing what's right. These are all demonstrations of the conscience at work.
Affirm children by talking about the conscience and how it's working in their lives. Kids like to see growth, and your affirmation provides spiritual markers for them on the path of life.
When we come back next time, we'll go more in depth in one area of the conscience and add more parenting strategies to help you parent in a way that touches the conscience of your child.